Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is July 14th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 51 of Who's Reading the Organon. We will be reading aphorism number 17. And as I wait for Vera to get on the line, I'm going to give you the inspirational quote for today is just a repeat of aphorism 16. The way to true healing is through our spirit-like, dynamic, virtual, alternative powers that act upon our spirit-like vital force. And there are some fantastic new discussions up on Homeopathy World Community. One is posted by Dr. Adil Chimtanawala. Please help me with sounding out your name, the pronunciation. And he has written a fantastic article about leopard's bane or boon about Arnica Montana. Also, Dr. Saji has posted a simple method of prescription. Take a look at those two. And I hope everyone is enjoying the film festival. The latest film put up for today is Yuri Norstein, Hedgehog in the Fog, which was created in 1975, an animated film. And there is a place for you to comment and even have discussion about the drama, the plot, the characters, and your emotional feelings about that film. And if you have anything that a take-home message. I'm wondering if Vera is on the line.
Hi, Debbie.
Yes, she is. Hello. I'm making it as short as I can to start because I know we have a lot to talk about with aphorism number 17 today. And I did, instead of a tweet inspiration, I just repeated the words of Samuel Hahnemann. And I also wanted to point out that I received a message. There was a letter to the editor by Uberatan Cardinali Adler to a journal of International Journal of High Dilution Research regarding the Organon and if it is still up to date 200 years later in the year 2010. And I will post a link to that in the group. Any other news? I don't hear anything, so I think we're ready to go ahead and do aphorism number 17.
Okay, let's do it.
Do you want to say one word of introduction about what we're doing so that the new people who are just signing in for the first time know what it is, how this came about or what
sure.
we're reading each day?
Okay. Happy to do so.
Thank you.
As you know, my name is Vera Resnick. I'm a classical homeopath. And just after Hahnemann's last birthday commemoration, 2010, April 10th, 2010, I decided to set myself a challenge. I've been telling students in general that it's worthwhile when reading the Organon to try to put the Organon into your own words. And I've done this sporadically over the years. But I decided to set myself a challenge to go through the entire Organon and put it all in my own words for myself, not an official translation of any kind, but just for the process, and to do this within 1 year by Hahnemann's next birthday. of April 10th, 2011. So I started what I call an Organon blog. The link is up on the group on HWC, and have been updating it on a fairly frequent basis, just putting my own version, my own take on the aphorisms as we read them. In May, Debbie approached me and said, you know this blog you're doing? Well, let's do a radio show and you can do this every day. So I thought, wow, making sure that I have to actually work on it every day. Since I was looking for commitment, the radio show has given me a framework for that. And through the radio show, we hope to also get you, anyone who's listening, anyone who's downloading, to get you not to listen to our dulcet tones and our happy or unhappy discussions, but to actually take the Organon down and read it directly, not through a teacher, not through a guru, not through a master. Just read it and see what you understand of it. See if you can put it into your own words. Don't assume your version is final. Just read it again. So this is what we're doing here on this radio show. We're discussing the Organon. We're reading the Organon. And we hope that other people will do likewise, and there will be a lot of people around the world who are reading the Organon.
Yes.
Maybe we'll
Yes, we're bringing Hahnemann back to life.
Maybe we should have reading the Organon day. Honk your horn if you've been reading the Organon.
Yeah. Okay. And we are on number 17, one of my favorite numbers.
Why is that?
I was married on the 17th, and I also, 7 is my lucky number. I don't know. You want to call me superstitious? It's a good number.
No, well, 13 was my mother's lucky number, and she passed it on to me. So that's counterintuitive superstitious, if you like.
Oh, it's a good number. 13 is good. Friday the 13th is even a better number.
Okay, aphorism 17. Now, as in the cure affected by the removal of the whole of the perceptible signs and symptoms of the disease, the internal alternation of the vital principle, I think it means alteration, not alternation. I think that's a typo in my Berica. Let's start again see how that goes. Now, as in the cure effected by the removal of the whole of the perceptible signs and symptoms of the disease, the internal alteration of the vital principle to which the disease is due, consequently the whole of the disease, is at the same time removed, it follows that the physician has only to remove the whole of the symptoms in order at the same time to abrogate and annihilate the internal change, that is to say, the morbid derangement of the vital force, consequently the totality of the disease itself. But when the disease is annihilated, health is restored, and this is the highest, the sole aim of the physician who knows the true object of his mission, which consists not in learned-sounding prating, but in giving aid to the sick. Okay, we'll go to the footnotes in a minute, but this seems to me to be very much another summarizing aphorism. Hahnemann has told us to look out for the perceptible signs and symptoms. He has said that the alteration of the vital principle, the internal alteration of the vital source, is expressed through those signs and symptoms. So those signs and symptoms are an expression of the entire disease. So if all the symptoms are removed, which means the morbid derangement of the vital force is set straight, which means the totality of the disease itself, is set straight. And he's reminding us that this is our objective. So in a way, certainly it reminds me that, you know, sometimes you're treating someone and it doesn't seem to be shifting, and you hear people being told by homeopaths, oh, well, you're sleeping better, that's good. It means that the vital force is this and the remedy is that and your immune system is this. But sometimes all it means is that it's not the right remedy. And we as homeopaths shouldn't fall into the trap of palliative speech.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be careful we don't do learned-sounding prating, is what Hahnemann's saying to us here.
I think maybe there's a couple of aspects to that. One, if I revert back to the previous aphorism about the power of the mind and our imagination, by instilling that a person is doing better, it might be helpful. And yet in your own mind, as the practitioner, to continue to be objective and question the direction of cure, whether it is there is true improvement in the totality, in the whole, and not just in certain areas. And continue to see until you actually do see this annihilation of the disease. And I think that we do need to keep patience and in the progress and the whether it's quick recovery or slower gradual recovery, depending upon the individual and what we're dealing with. So I'm getting the message from him that he's bringing us kind of back to the starting point, back home. He's bringing us to the physician's high and only mission is to restore the sick to health, to cure, as it is termed. And perhaps aphorism number 17 is further delineation, expression of that mission.
I think it's further expression. I think it's also, again, reminding us our mission is not to just make things a little easier. Our mission is not to help people accept the fact that they have always felt nauseous in the morning and they'll always feel a bit nauseous in the morning, or whatever it might be. Our mission is to cure. It's a very high, and sometimes it feels like a very inaccessible mission. You know, especially when you see patients who've gone through every conventional treatment possible, and we are brainwashed into thinking that conventional doctors know a lot and they've studied a lot and they tell us on every occasion as well. And we have an expectation of our treatment, or Hahnemann tells us we should have an expectation of our treatment, is to cure. And as someone recently berated me, we are physicians. Even if we're not conventional doctors, we are physicians. What we do is medical intervention. What we do has the potential for cure, and we have to take that potential seriously. I see some homeopaths who won't take any cases that go beyond children's ear infections. They won't do it.
Well, they don't
not
have
just
the
because
confidence.
Of malpractice.
Maybe they just don't have the confidence, you know? And that's something that we need to improve for many people. And you mentioned this word acceptance, that whether the homeopath or the usually the patient is coming in, they already accept, or maybe not, they accept what symptoms they have been living with on a long-term basis, and they're not really looking for that improvement because they think it's just become part of them. And you're there to provide some hope that, yes, let's take a look at these symptoms that you've been dealing with on a long-term basis, and it is possible to remove them entirely, which they, it seems in their mind is not possible because they have been everywhere else.
Hahnemann's discussed this previously, I think also in previous aphorisms that we've looked at. Hahnemann talks about not so much about hope. He refers to the fact that there are symptoms that people don't even acknowledge anymore as an alteration from health. They see this as their health picture, and it's very difficult to get that information from them because they don't see it as something that needs to be told because it's just the way it is. So I think a friend of mine advised me a long time ago. He said, every situation you're in, you should always keep your focus on the long-range goals. And in some ways, I feel in aphorism 17, well, before we get to the foot, but I feel that Hahnemann is telling us, don't forget, your mission is to cure. That's your mission, to restore health. Whatever you do on the way.
whatever you do on the way?
Whether you think something is going to help, whether you're giving your homeopathic treatment and you've given a remedy and it doesn't seem to be helping, and you find that you're zigzagging and you consult with others, you retake the case. There's a process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as long as we keep in mind that our aim is to restore health, not even to promote our business or to raise our ego at nice bunch of cured cases, or none of that is really the mission. The mission
or
is to restore health.
Or to fall into the depths of acceptance that, okay, there's nothing that can be done. And he uses such strong language. The word disease is annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a very powerful word. And from annihilation to restoration, something that has been destroyed and then restored back to its original being of wellness.
Sounds a bit religious, so it sounds a bit like the phoenix, you know, burn and rebirth.
Or just the cycle of life. The cycle of life is, you know, life and death, and those are two extremes.
I think he truly hated disease. I think that's what it is. He saw disease as something to be annihilated. I think he hated it because he felt it was a waste of time.
Oh, I don't know whether he felt it was a waste of time.
In the sense of what he says in Aphorism 9.
Uh-huh.
Just to hop back to it a moment. He says, why are we doing all this? So that our indwelling, reason-gifted minds can freely employ this living, healthy instrument for the higher purposes of our existence. That's why I think he felt disease was a waste of time, because the sound also from Aphorism 9 is, we have work to do. We can't get on with our work if, as one patient told me, it takes her till 11 o'clock in the morning to leave the house because in between constipation and diarrhea, she's never quite sure what her situation is. Hahnemann says, we don't have time for that. We have a higher purpose for existence.
Yeah.
And our
well,
job for... Yeah, carry
I
on.
I can see how you're thinking of it. He's thinking it's a waste of time. Whereas my listening to this rereading is telling me again and again, his first line is not only that the physician's high and only mission, in other words, the physician has a mission to accomplish while they're on earth. And so does every other human being have a mission. And he's saying, yes, don't let them fall from accomplishing their mission through being not feeling well in mind, body, and spirit. But let's restore them to the place that they are supposed. So it is definitely sound very religious, but it also is very spirit-like that, you know, everybody on earth has a purpose. Everyone is an individual. Without them, the world would not be the same. And that provides meaning for a person to go on living if they know that they have a purpose and a mission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very high words, and that's what I'm taking home from it. And if you have more or want to move to the other footnote,
let's move to the footnote. The first footnote is talking about the disease being removed. It's on the words of where the perceptible signs and symptoms of the disease. Let's just go back. Now, as in the cure affected by the removal of the whole of the perceptible signs and symptoms, the internal alteration of the vital principle is at the same time removed. And here we have footnote number 10. A warning dream, a superstitious fancy, or a solemn prediction that death would occur at a certain day or at a certain hour has not unfrequently produced all the signs of commencing and increasing disease, of approaching death, and death itself. At the hour announced, which could not happen without the simultaneous production of the inward change corresponding to the state observed externally. and hence in such cases all the morbid signs indicative of approaching death have frequently been dissipated by an identical cause, by some cunning deception or persuasion to a belief in the contrary, and health suddenly restored, which could not have happened without the removal, by means of this moral remedy, of the internal and external morbid change that threatened death.
Mm-hmm. I could probably use a rereading of that one.
Yeah, and, let's reread it. Let's reread it and see.
Okay. Would you like me to do that?
if you choose.
Okay. A warning dream is what he's saying? A superstitious fancy? Or a solemn prediction that death would occur at a certain day or at a certain hour? I'm thinking aconite, but my mind always goes to remedies. Mm. Has not infrequently produced all the signs of commencing and increasing disease, of approaching death and death itself at the hour announced, which could not happen without the simultaneous production of the inward change corresponding to the state observed externally.
Okay, so stop there.
Something inward is happening also simultaneously on the outside, externally.
So we've got the immaterial thing, which is in communication with a vital force. That immaterial thing is a dream or a fancy or a solemn prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Something triggers it. That trigger has dialogue with a vital force. The vital force is distressed and deranged, produces all the signs of commencing and increasing disease. So the vital force being distressed and deranged is what he means by the simultaneous production of the inward change. Does that fit?
Okay.
Carry on.
Okay. And hence, in such cases, all the morbid signs indicative of approaching death have frequently been dissipated by an identical cause, by some cunning deception or persuasion to a belief in the contrary, and health suddenly restored, which could not have happened without the removal, by means of this moral remedy, of the internal and external morbid change that threatened death. Aha. I was talking about life and death at the beginning of this the mission, and here he is talking about life and death. And what is the initiating triggers? You say factors. How does it begin that something is on its way to annihilation toward this death state? And what is it that halts it? And
let's give an example. Let's try to make this whole footnote real. Let's say that someone goes to a hand reader who's telling the fortune in the hand, and this hand reader is not terribly ethical, looks at the hand and says, "You are going to die on a Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning." Okay? So then what happens is our poor patient every Friday at 9:30 a.m. starts feeling very, very ill. Because something in the way the prediction was given deranged the vital force. Mm-hmm. Something in that immaterial communication harmed something deep inside. Now, this kind of thing goes on. I don't think that the example I'm giving is very far-fetched.
Not at all. It's a good one.
So here we have our person, 9:30 every Friday morning, especially Friday the 13th, starts feeling, I connected this in somehow, starts feeling really ill, and 10 o'clock comes and goes, and they realize they didn't die this Friday, so it's probably next week, and they start feeling better again. Now, how are we going to get them off this? So at that point, maybe this person goes to a medium. Okay, so we're still within the occult here. And maybe someone has set this all up for her or him and told the medium, this is what happened. We need you to present as if a message from some source that this person is not going to die on a Friday at 10 a.m. and that they're going to die at an advanced old age in their sleep. So the person goes to the medium And the whole setting is set up where everything is very, very ectoplasmic. And the medium tells them, I have a message for you from someone, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cunning deception, persuasion of to a belief in the contrary. Mm-hmm. And our patient starts feeling better and stops having these Friday deteriorations of health. I think mm-hmm. that's sort of what he's describing, both the trigger, the original hand reader, and the identical and the dissipation by an identical cause by some cunning deception or persuasion to a belief in the contrary. That's our medium with crystal ball. Both of them are speaking the immaterial language of the vital force. Both of them are speaking within the same general field, the same subject. So this helps remove the internal.
Now there could be, I don't know how it works exactly, but somebody could say, bah, humbug, and they are not susceptible to the words, or are they? There's a story about bah, humbug. You could, are you susceptible to the words of this fortune teller who's doing the hand reading? Mm-hmm. And what is your relationship with the medium? And I feel that there is a great deal to do with trust, and how you perceive the message and the messenger.
I think there's also the, in this particular example, both given by Hahnemann and developed by us, he's talking about people who are more likely to be susceptible or superstitious.
Yes.
And it's curious that we seem to have come back to that.
Because why is it curious? Because we started with Friday
because
the 13th.
Because we started talking about superstition and the number 17.
Ah, you know what? this blows my mind. I cannot believe how our talk comes out of the blue from nowhere. I must really have this susceptibility. What about you, Vera?
Well, we're having a very interesting week with metaphysical poetry and superstitious and occult examples.
And last night I attended a mystical Kabbalah class, and mm-hmm. the rabbi did speak about these issues, and he told a little story about somebody who was a very brilliant, brilliant scholar, and a angel came to him and said, I wish I remembered precisely the rabbi's words, but said, you know, if you come to heaven with us, the angels will teach you even more scholarly works. And he said, no, thank you. And then he went home and he went to his rabbi and he said, I just had this angel come to me and tell me that I could learn. And he told all of his friends about this. And the rabbi said, you did the right thing. This was not good. Oh, it's the end of the show, and
yep.
I'm going to leave you with a cliffhanger. But basically what happened was, as a young boy, I'm going to have to tell the end of the story. It's a little bit long. You're just going to have he made the right choice, and he was not susceptible to the words of an evil inclination, which was not really an angel. And so I'll talk about how that happened next time. Let's finish up and continue on tomorrow.
Okay.
What would you like
bye.
To say? Anything?
Well, you mentioned something about the physician's mission, which I thought was kind of cute.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, I think we've got a lot of food for thought today, and I thank you so much. We had a lot of fun today on the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank
okay,
you.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.